You're listening to an episode of the Private Officer Pete Radio, a production of Private Officer International. All rights are reserved. Private Officer International is a private security and law enforcement organization. You can check them out today and learn more at www.privateofficer.org or give their corporate offices a call Monday through Friday at area code
7304-8319. You are listening to the voice of the frontline protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition, another edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Glad that you're joining us today from wherever you might be, whatever time it might be. I'm glad that you are here. Hope that you're listening to us on the iHeartRadio Network or maybe Amazon Radio. Maybe you've even hooked up with us on iTunes, Rhapsody, or one of those other internet-based platforms where you can pick up your music, radio shows, podcasts, and so much more. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International and the Armor College. And tell you what, we've got a lot to talk about today, but when isn't that true? When do I come on here with nothing to say? Never. We do have a lot to talk about today. We've got some interesting things happening in the news. We're talking about that when we come back from our first break, including a man. Get this now. You know what they say? Fiction has nothing over the truth. The truth is much more stranger than fiction. A man out of Florida somehow wrestled an alligator off a golf course and then took it on down the road and was beating it when police spotted him. Beating the alligator and tossing it up on the roof. We're going to tell you more about what in the world happened. And my question is, why didn't that dude get bitten by the alligator? But we're gonna talk about that coming up right after the first little break that we're gonna have. But so much more to talk about. One of the things that I have noticed, probably for quite some time, I'd say at least 2 or 3 years, maybe a little bit more, we are finding that more and more security officers are not who you think they are. And by that, I don't mean that, you know, their name is different than what they've given you on the application. No. Actually, what we're finding is that, and this kind of goes along with what's happening in our world, the environment and the whole situation across the country, but we're finding that more and more security officers, even the entry-level people, are recent law enforcement, recent military, and come from an educational background, having graduated from college. Now, we've seen this police and college background thing for a number of years, quite a few years, but over the last two or three, we actually have seen more professionals, I guess you would call them, professional people coming into the security industry, and we got a chance to talk with one of them, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later on in the program. But in the meantime, we have a lot of other things to talk about. In fact, I've got a little topic that we're going to talk about later on. And, you know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, last week, about just the frustration with the whole security industry and the lack of professionalism, the lack of people who fully understand what the job has become and how different it is from, you know, back in the day, back in the 60s and 70s and even the 90s. And we have talked many times about how the private security industry and security itself changed dramatically after 9/11. But now we're seeing even a more dramatic turn. And so we're going to talk about that in an upcoming segment today. And that kind of frustrates me, as I was telling my two friends. It's to the point now where we can't just be a staffing service. We can't just hire Tom, Dick, or Harry. We just cannot put a body there to fill a post so that we can have some billable hours. As you know, we're constantly talking about, and I mean constantly talking about, security officer injuries and security officer deaths and the amount of use of force against and by both contract and proprietary security, as well as private law enforcement. And that is increasing. And we'll talk about also when I come back after the first break about this young female security officer now facing four charges of attempted murder for a shooting that she was involved in this past week. And I've looked at it. I've analyzed it. I've read all the material available, including the press release. I just not for the life of me can figure out why she went in that direction, why she was involved in a shooting. But we'll look at that a little closer coming up in the next quarter hour. And also, we've got a lot of things happening now that things are opening up a little bit across the country. I know that COVID is still coming back strong. We still have some new COVID numbers that have come out recently. But because some areas are opening up with the vaccinations and so forth, we're going to be traveling much more this year. And we hope that you'll help sponsor one of our private officer memorials. That's where we get together with the local community, and we do a memorial service for those private security and private law enforcement killed in the line of duty, and discuss more about the dangers and the challenges in the private security industry. We have politicians, government officials, law enforcement, fire service, and many others that do come out to our memorial service. If you would like to sponsor one in your area, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And before we go to our first break, if you are not already a member of Private Officer International, go to our website at privateofficer.org. Sign up right now for a lifetime membership for just $99. We're going to give you a free online course, absolutely free, 10-week online course. Go to our website. I'm telling you, this is people ask me all the time, how can you guys afford to do it? You're losing money. That's true. We'll be right back.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
The Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don Reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. And welcome back, everyone. Thank you for being with us here at the Private Officer Beat Radio for another strong week. We say strong because, well, we just want people to know that we're strong and we're going to do everything that we possibly can do to live the right life, the best life. And we're strong in our business, strong in our faith, and strong in our life. And I hope that you are too. Listen, talking about strong, about 2 weeks ago, we told you. And you've probably seen it across the internet, on your local TV news, probably read it on the web. A strange incident occurred on Interstate 95 in Massachusetts, a freeway, an interstate that I traveled frequently and know quite well because I'm from the New England area. But state police pulled over thinking that they had some type of broken down vehicle, and they found two men who were trying to put some gasoline into a vehicle. And they thought, hey, the officer, the state trooper thought, well, this is just a vehicle that was out of gas. And so they pulled over to assist them, but what it really was a group of homegrown terrorists. 11 individuals, according to the Wakefield, Massachusetts police, who were all dressed out in tactical gear. They had semi-automatic rifles and pistols. And they were part of the Moorish Americans collection. Now, you may not know that name, but they are a group of terrorists grown up here in the U.S. with a sovereign attitude. What that means is they don't believe that the law applies to them. They don't recognize the law. They don't recognize law enforcement. And when the trooper tried to question them, they ran into the woods, and it was there that they held up for hours 11 armed men. This happened July 3rd, I believe it was, somewhere around the 4th of July weekend. Now, this group, refusing to come out, held police at bay. They had to shut down the interstate. But this past week, we found out that the reason why police were able to get them in custody without any injuries, because in this situation, there was a very high tense situation, was after hours of being there in a standoff, police used what's called an LRAD weapon. Never heard of it, you say, huh? Well, an LRAD is a long-range acoustic device that is often used to alert someone, an acoustic hailing device, a sound cannon, some type of loud noise to notify people that may be lost or whatever. But it can also be used as a weapon, a sonic weapon. And this was used a number of years ago in Dallas, Texas, when police officers were killed. But the LRAD was called in to service. Unit emits a sound in the 30 to 60 beam at 2.5 kilohertz. The manufacturer also said it produces rapid sounds, high-pitched sounds, and various high decibel capacity, and it can be used as a less lethal weapon for crowd control, which is exactly what took place here along Interstate 95. Pretty unique, huh? It stopped the standoff. Police from having to use any other type of weapons. And most of all, and most importantly, no one was injured. Isn't that just, I think it's a kind of crazy, kind of weird. But so is this next story. See, I told you we got some stories for you now. In Daytona Beach Shores, which is a suburb of Daytona Beach, a man, William Hodge, 32, is accused of beating and stealing a gator. No, it really is true. I don't know how it was able to convince the gator to go along with him, but he stole the alligator from a golf course nearby. Then he beat it up on the street, attacked it, hit it, sit on the roof of a business. And when the gator fell down from the roof, the man, William Hodge, continued to attack the alligator, and police happened to be driving by, and they spotted what was happening, and they got out to investigate. The Fort Myers man now is charged with burglary of an unoccupied dwelling, criminal mischief, petty theft, and animal cruelty. He's held on $4,500. And as I say so often, and I'm sure you've heard elsewhere, the truth, what really happens, is stranger than fiction. Other things that got my attention this week in the news was the fact that a Baltimore security guard at a grocery store shot and killed a man and wounded a woman after what police are calling a brief altercation. A brief altercation. We don't know what that means. It could mean anything. According to law enforcement and according to witnesses and press accounts of the situation, there was no reason for the use of force, at least not deadly force. It is under investigation, but the security officer, whose name has not been released, he is not currently facing any charges. That does not mean that he won't face any charges. It just means that he currently is not facing charges. Now, this shooting is just one of many involving private security that continues to happen on a daily, weekly basis, and we do not know if this is because more security officers are carrying a firearm or because more security officers are being used to enforce the law or because there's really a big divide in the training or all the above. Another example of this comes out of Monroe, Louisiana. This past week also, authorities arrested a Winnsboro, Louisiana woman on 4 counts of attempted murder. The security guard, 21-year-old Brianna Davis, was on duty at some type of event. The woman got into a confrontation with several people. They say this was a mud ride event. I've been mudding a few times, so I can only imagine the mud slinging. They say the security officer got into some type of argument confrontation with a group and then pepper sprayed the people. Police say that the security officer became verbally abusive, and when the people began talking back at her is when they were sprayed. But the victims say they got into their vehicle and were driving away when the security officer shot 3 rounds into their vehicle with her handgun. The security officer shot through a passenger window and then broke and shattered another window with her bullets. Police have charged her with 4 counts of aggravated battery and 4 counts of attempted murder. Now, I've seen social media counts where security personnel said, oh, well, she probably didn't know better, or maybe she didn't know how to word her report to keep her out of trouble. This isn't about wording a report to stay out of trouble. This isn't about whether we can say the right things to articulate the use of force. No, this is much, much, much different and more about trying to kill someone. There was no reason for use of force on any level, according to everything that I've read in our office has researched. I'm not sure what she was thinking. Coming out of Germany, a woman there is wanted for stealing $10 million from Loomis, the armored car company. She worked inside in the money packaging department. Well, evidently she wanted a raise because one early morning before others came in, she backed up her minivan and she filled it with money. Video shows clearly the woman working quickly. Everything had been packaged. Everything was ready to go. $10 million missing, and she's on the run. We have a lot of news to talk about, obviously, every week. Be sure that you check out our daily news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com, as well as always. Always receive breaking news in your email box. Just go to our website at privateofficer.org. A box will drop down and you can register for those breaking news. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information, and we certainly don't fill up your email box. Go to privateofficer.org and sign up today. Now, before we get over to our next break, I want to tell you something. We have a lot of great courses going on at Armor College. You can get 3 courses right now for $199. You can also take Command College, a 16-week stupendous management training at an outrageous low price. Or contact Help Desk at privateofficer.com. privateofficer.com for any information on anything that's going on at POI or Armor. We'll direct your message to the proper person and they'll get back with you immediately. We are going to take another quick break. Remember, if you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina or South Carolina area and you need private protective licensing training, either from SLED or from the North Carolina Private Protection Board, contact our friends over at Premier Training Academy. They're right there in Charlotte, very easy to find, and our friend John will take care of you. Besides the security training, they also offer a whole bunch of other stuff, self-defense, weapons, and so forth. Call them at 704-806-4933, 704 being the area code, 806-4933, or check them out on the web. Where? At www.premiertrainingacademyusa. We'll be right back.
My wife and I are spending more time on our computer.
It's so convenient.
Yeah, but there can be a downside.
Right, like buying fake drugs being sold over the internet.
Yeah, we learned the hard way.
At the emergency room.
Never buy prescription or over-the-counter drugs online from unknown or unlicensed sources, as they are often dangerous fakes. Counterfeits hurt, but you have the power to stop them. Go to www.ncpc.org/get real. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice.
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water's like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jacket.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S. Coast Guard.
I often hear security personnel and others talk about how they just cannot afford training, how they just cannot afford to buy any type of resource, equipment, even PPE, even at the height of COVID pandemic, having to do without. And I certainly do understand, and I am with them 100%. Until I can figure out a better way for our men and women on the front line to get those resources, to get that training, to get that equipment, the best that we can do is offer you some other resources that are just as valuable. Number one, I encourage each and every one of you to read our daily security and news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Well, Rick, what is that going to do for me? I hear you. I hear you. I know that you're putting out some good news, but what really is that going to do for me? Well, in our breaking news, we often have situations that occur involving private security, and it really can, if you'll take it and look at it and dissect it and digest it, it can really help you when a situation similar comes your way. And trust me, it probably will. Private Officer Breaking News .blogspot.com doesn't cost you a penny. You can go there, look at the news. In fact, you can get the feed right into your email box. That's number one. Number two, a resource that many people really do not consider. And honestly, even I, up until a few years ago, didn't realize how much this resource had changed and how much more valuable it was. And that is your public library. What? How? What do you? Don't understand this one. I don't get it, Rick. Your public library is not the library of 1970. It is a tech-savvy, technology-heavy, and completely different place than when you were 10 or 15 and having to go to the library to get a book for something to do or to research for school project. Our libraries, at least in the metropolitan areas, maybe not in the rural so much, but in the metropolitan areas, has come a long, long way. You can download books right there on the internet. You can order books. You can have them purchase a book that you want that they don't have. Many libraries will purchase it and put it in their stock for you. They ask their patrons now for requests. What book should we get that we don't have? And they'll purchase many books that are recommended. The other valuable tool about the library is they have lots and lots of audiobooks of all types. You want to become a business owner, an entrepreneur. You want to learn Spanish. You want to know how to get XYZ. You can download that audiobook right there from your public library. And you know what? There's no charge. That's the greatest thing right there. There is no charge. Nada. You can't give an excuse. I don't have no money for that. No, that's not in my budget. Audiobooks are great. I am in no way telling you to listen to them when you're on duty. In fact, I'm telling you not to listen to them. Distractions is one of the reasons why security officer injuries and deaths have gone up over the years. I remember going to work with a thermos and maybe a newspaper, occasional long shifts. I might bring in a radio, maybe. Now you have your phone, laptops, iPads, you're playing TikTok videos, you're playing games on your phone, and that distracts you. So I'm not telling you to do that, but you can listen to audio books on the way to work, on the way home, on your time off. You can learn all sorts of things, and it's absolutely free. I know of some colleges that have put a lot of free material out in the libraries. In fact, on our PBS station, public broadcast system or service, there's a college course going on right now. Every year, the University of North Carolina puts on a free college course on cable TV. You don't even have to sign up for it, but it is a credit-worthy course to take. There are so many options that you have these days for free training, free material, free resources, but you know what's lacking? You know why people don't get them? I don't want to say laziness, but that's certainly one reason. The other reason is that people just don't look around. They don't put in any effort. They don't research. And you know what? If you're not willing to put in the efforts, If you're not willing to do a little work, you put nothing in, you're going to get nothing out. You put very little in, you're going to get very little out. Understand, people, that you have to be responsible for yourself, and people don't, they just don't want to do that anymore. We're living in a day and age when nobody wants to be responsible. Nobody wants to say, look, it was my fault, or I didn't do it, or this happened because of me. Everyone wants to point the finger. Everyone wants to, you know, blame everybody else. But that's another great resource for you that doesn't cost anything. Besides the audiobooks, of course, they have videos, lots of videos on training. Some libraries have online seminars and other free resources. And, of course, we've used it in the past for meetings. They have rooms, meeting rooms available at your local public library. They do charge if you're going to have like a big sales meeting or something where you're charging a fee for. But for the most part, it's free. Other free resources. Did you know that you can go to, well, last time I checked, there were over 30 universities that offer free courses. In fact, I just took a free course online this past week. It wasn't for credit hours. It was just from my own knowledge, but it was related to the fire service, so I benefited from that. You can also go to FEMA. FEMA has a whole lot of free courses. These are accredited, certified. You know, if you're going to be a firefighter, EMT, paramedic, first responder, a lot of these courses are required. But even if you're not, take the NIMS. Take, you know, the command structure courses. You can take the CERT course. That's the community emergency responder training. You can take, I just found maybe a month ago, I found a free CIT course, which is crisis intervention techniques. There's a lot of courses. Naloxone, if you want to be certified in using it, you can go online. There's a lot of different organizations, including the Red Cross, that offer it. There are some that are free and some that are just about $20. A whole lot of resources that are available today to you online, mostly for free. You just got to sign up and do it. Spend a few minutes in research. Spend a few minutes of your time. Maybe even your boss, your employer, I know several who will give you an hour a week to study, to better yourself. All that you got to do is ask. Say, hey, boss, how about an hour a week for education? It's going to benefit you. It's going to reduce the liability. It's going to reduce the possibility of me making a mistake doing something. Did you also know that if you join a volunteer fire department or EMS organization, that they'll give you training free. They'll get you certified as an EMT. They'll get you certified as a firefighter. You can also become an auxiliary officer or a reserve, get a whole lot of training. And just recently, Armor College offered just a remarkable program, the first civilian police academy. We had over 65 people register, and we're going to do it again in the fall. A lot of training went out that really benefited people, and it was absolutely free, no cost whatsoever. Resources abound. And here's another one. If you're a private officer member, if you are a member of our organization, we offer a lot of free resources. Did you know that we offer a credit course that will help restore your credit if you're a member? Did you know that we offer mentoring programs? Did you know that we offer free or discounted training? In fact, when we offer training online for sale, we often deduct $50 or $100. Sometimes a couple of years ago, we deducted 50% for members of POI. A lot of resources, a lot of benefits. Check out privateofficer.org. Right there on the front page, if you're not already a member, we have $99 membership, lifetime membership right now. Won't cost you a nickel thereafter, and we're giving you a free course. Now, isn't that a resource? Remember, Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. If you're looking for body armor, protective clothing, stab-resistant vests, gloves, Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives, that then 3-6 months later, they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Ross.
Welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio on this Monday morning, July 19th, 2021. We have a lot of news. I would love to sit here every day and talk about nothing about but the news because there's so much happening. People view it often as a bad thing, but actually in reality, it's like history. If we put our mind to it and we look at it objectively and correctly, we can oftentimes use it as a training tool. And I have received many, many notes and emails through the years from people who use our news as a training tool, as well as security company owners who often debrief employees over certain situations and incidents that they've seen in our news. So I love the news. Today, I do want to spend a couple of moments talking about the subject, which seems to be getting a rebirth in law enforcement training, but it's something that we do quite consistently in fire and EMS. And those of you who are firefighters or EMT paramedics and you work out in the field, you know all about scene size up. You know all about slowing down. And now with so many departments having to redo their use of force policies and procedures and best practices, we're seeing more and more discussion about just slowing down. I recently was involved in a mental health online seminar, and they talked about slowing it down as well. No reason to rush into things if you don't have to. Use of force, the same thing. Unless you absolutely need to take immediate lethal force actions to save a life, slow down and learn along the way. And today we're talking about slowing down and learning along the way. We also want you to stop, look, listen, and feel. We need to learn from our past. Well, why is that so hard, so difficult in the security industry? Now, being in law enforcement and the fire and EMS field for many, many years, we learned. We were often driven through data. Data-driven works in many professions. Plumbers, electricians, the fire service, EMS, law enforcement, sales and marketing, hotel groups, and many others use data, data-driven methods for them to train, to do things differently, to reorganize if necessary. But in the professional areas of our industry, loss prevention, high-risk security, federal contract security, they do some of that, but the rest of the industry does little to none of that. We need to learn and accept changes. Now, over the weekend, I was participating in an online 130-hour recertification for several EMS qualifications and research. And one of the lecturers brought up a good point. If you think that our profession, whatever it might be, is strong-headed against change and that it just recently started, you're wrong. In the lecture, it went back to the 1800s. A Dr. Semeny realized early 1800s that clients in the hospital, patients in the hospital, were dying frequently from sepsis. Now, sepsis is a blood poisoning often introduced into the system by poor hygiene, poor areas of hygiene in the hospital. And the doctors studied the data and found that it was the doctors themselves that came either from the morgue or their office or other areas straight into the hospital to see patients, and that their patients had a much higher death rate than doctors that came straight from their home. And the reasoning there was that doctors coming from home instead of from a morgue or another doctor's office, the people, the doctors coming from home had much cleaner hands. They were much more, cleaner, healthier than those coming from other locations. So he, in 1887, came up with a chlorine hand washing program, whereas all the doctors that came into the hospital would immediately wash their hands with chlorine. Now, we know if you've ever used Clorox or pool chlorine that it kills germs, almost 100%. And in 1881, President Garfield was shot. And he himself died from sepsis, not because of the bullet, but research would later determine that it was because the doctors themselves dug out the bullet with their dirty, ungloved, unwashed hands and caused the president to get sepsis. And it took over 100 years later for a national standard to be accepted. Wash your hands before touching the patient. Then came gloves. And medically, we all know PPE, if you're a first responder, is one of the first things we do before even arriving on scene. I know I pull my gloves on while in the ambulance. Thankfully, today, the medical field is much quicker to realize this, that they are data-driven, and they do learn by their mistakes. People have died, but they're learning. They realize that processes have to change. Medicines and standards change, continuously change. And yet, as much as many of us in the security industry want to be considered professionals, we don't want to learn from our mistakes. We have a hard time looking at the past and saying we can do better. Let's change our practices. Let's change our policies and procedures. And still we operate in that hard to understand staffing mentality where anybody will do. And that's why so many people are being injured and killed in the security profession. And yet people are not seeing it. They're not understanding it. They're not accepting it. This past week, I had a conversation, a heart-to-heart, with a friend of mine. And I talked to him about the security profession and how disappointing and sad that it is. That we have some really good people out there in the field. We have some pretty good people on the front line. We have people who want the change. As I said earlier, we got professionals from law enforcement, the military, other high professional fields coming into private security these days, and they see what's happening and they can't believe it. They've gone from a professional environment to one that is sometimes laughable at best and other times sad. We need to be more data-driven. We need to be more engaged in change. We need to work with each other in policies and procedures and best practices instead of trying to stand steadfast in the old, because the old is not working. I have often said that there is an evolution in the private security industry, much like what happened 50 years ago in law enforcement. Private security and law enforcement are going through so many changes. And for private security, the evolution was recognized by law enforcement about 50 years ago. And now it's here on the front steps of the private security industry. As more and more private security intertwine with law enforcement type duties and services and enforcement, we need to have better people, better training. And unfortunately, it all is going to start not with you. If it were up to many security companies, and I've got a friend of mine in California who has the highest of standards of training, and he spends money from his bottom line that doesn't come back to him over and over and over again in training because he realizes the advantages for his business, his customers, and everyone, his employees, and everyone else who they come in contact with. And yet the industry as a whole sees it as an unnecessary. Unfortunately, in a professional service, whether that be the ambulance service or housekeeping service or janitorial or maintenance or plumbing or any service industry, whether or not we're able to increase our standards, our level of training and other areas that cost the business to put forth these upgrades, the thing that stands in the way is always the customer. Most customers, unless you are a nuclear plant, a major hospital, a university, or some other large conglomerate that understands how security is a necessity and, you know, not just any old security, but top-notch, you know, the best trained, the best recruited, the best qualified is very important. But for the most part, it's the client, the customer who stands in the way. As a security company owner, before even it was mandated by law, I provided 40 hours of in-house training for our security staff and an additional 20 hours of firearms training. But the client never paid for it, and it wasn't required by the state. But many years ago, I felt that it was a necessity. Well, for several reasons, training was important for our own liability. Training was a necessity for our insurance. for the safety of others, especially because all of our people carry a gun. The client never paid more, never offered to pay more. In fact, we lost contract and we lost potential customers because we charged a little bit more because of that training. Here's the bottom line. We have to be willing to change as an industry, as a profession, as a company, as a business. As I've said many times before, maybe we'll have to leave potential clients on the side of the road. Maybe we'll have to get rid of some clients who don't want to pay what we are valued at. And that's a slap in the face, by the way. When you know your worth, when you know what your value is, when you understand the value of your people, your company, yourself, you're not willing to take less. I would rather not have a business than to have to worry about whether or not we have the right equipment, the right training, the right people. Are we really well prepared? Now, I have a medical profession company where we operate an urgent care on wheels, and we're gearing up to really expand that in September, and we have to hire very highly paid nurse practitioners, $100,000 plus annual salary each. We have to hire top line, top grade paramedics and medical professionals who know their worth. They know the value of their training, the license that they carry, their certifications. They understand, if you want me, baby, you got to pay my price. And I think more of us have to be willing to stand our ground. I personally go through hundreds of hours of training recertification every year, every 2 years, in many different fields. It costs me a lot of money, but more than that, it costs me a lot of time, a lot of effort on my part. But I understand the worth, the value that it brings to me. And so, unfortunately, where we're at in the security industry is that there's going to be the McDonald's of the business. The more hours, billable hours, the more they're going to make, even though it may only be 3 cents per hamburger. And then there's going to be the elite, the top shelf steakhouse companies that are going to, they're going to be very expensive because they know their worth. And they're going to have fewer clients, but they're going to have premier clients, better staff. It's going to allow them to hire the elite of the elite, the best. And that's where I want to be. That's where I'm striving to be. I don't want to be at the bottom, and I don't want to be at the middle. I want to be at the top. And that doesn't always mean the most billable hours, the most revenue, because more revenue often means more expenses. We have to be willing to be data-driven. We have to be willing to recognize what's happening in our industry and decide whether or not we want to swim in the same pool as all those other yucky people are. The pool is dirty. The pool hasn't been cleaned in a long time. No amount of chlorine will probably ever get that pool clean 100%. Do you really want to swim there? I remember a state park that I went to many years ago. It was in Kentucky, and it was a beautiful park until I went to the swimming pool. And it was actually a lake, I'm sorry, but I went to the lake, and it had rained for a few days, so there was a lot of debris in there, but it was terrible. And they charged us per person to go into that lake. And I commented to the group that I was with, I've never paid to jump in a pile of garbage until today, because that's what it felt like. There were cigarette butts, there was snack wrappers, all kind of debris that had floated in, and it just wasn't a good day to be swimming. And somehow we went in there anyways. It was a hot, humid day, but we paid to be in that muck and mire. I won't pay for that ever again. Will you? Let's decide right now about changes. I appreciate law enforcement, fire and EMS, and other professional services that look at data, look at what they've done that's not working, look at what the future is and how to make it better, and then go for it. I don't understand for the life of me how to force anyone to want to do better. Are you one of those people who do? If you are, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We have some insight for you. That's going to conclude this episode of the Private Officer B Radio. So glad that you have been with us. Please pass on our information to all of your friends, coworkers, and others. Remember, our radio show is available 24/7 on the iHeartRadio, along with iTunes and many other platforms. Until the next time, friends, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.